Welcome to today's Middle Level Educator, a podcast from National Middle School Association. In today's episode, Howard Ormond, principal and member of the NMSA Site-Based Services Speakers Cadre, discusses the importance of motivating and building positive relationships with your students with Jack Berkmeyer, Assistant Executive Director at NMSA.
Hey, Howard. I want to talk a little bit with you about issues in regards to some student motivation and dealing with those difficult students. And my first question really kind of relates to the issue of, you know, I hear people say this to me all the time, that this group of students are worse than they were 10 years ago. Do you think that's true?
Somewhat. They really aren't. I think from the standpoint they come with more challenges from the standpoint because they think that they're entitled to stuff. And the kids 10 years ago were more respectful and receptive to what the teachers or the educators indicated that they would have to do to be successful.
You know, because it's funny, because I think you're absolutely right. What's probably lapsed is probably manners.
Correct. Now, I feel very strongly about that. That's why one of the things that we try to do in our school, discipline, is we go from ROAR, because our mascot is a lion, and ROAR stands for respect, order, attitude, and responsibility. So you're right about that. It's the respect part on both parts.
And it's funny because so many teachers are now saying, well, wait a minute, you know what? You'd hired me to teach math. You know, why in the world do you want me to teach citizenship or responsibility? You know, how do you deal with a teacher like that?
Well, the first thing I try to deal with teachers from the standpoint of understanding that they have to understand that they are the key to successful discipline. You know, you got to believe in yourself and you have to feel comfortable about it to yourself. And so to do that and to get respect from the kids and the easy to teach the kids, you got to show them that you care about them. And when you show people that you care about them, then you can teach the subject. So I try to tell them the first thing you got to do, you have to establish law and order, so to speak, you know, from the standpoint within your classroom. And that only comes when you show respect and give respect and establish an environment where the kids will feel comfortable enough where they're going to make a comment or make a statement that they'll try. And even if they don't know how to do it yet, they'll still feel comfortable because they know you're supporting them.
Yeah, it's funny because I think that teachers are fearful, you know, in the fact that I've heard them say, well, it's not my job to be their friend, you know, but it doesn't mean you can't be friendly.
Right. And it does not mean that the fact that you don't understand that they are human beings, and human beings are social beings. And so from the standpoint for you to get some effort from them, you have to make sure you show them that you're there for them. So I feel real strong about a positive climate and positive attitude, and from the standpoint of teachers changing their attitude and behavior towards the kids, and they'll get success.
And I think there's nothing more frustrating, especially when I was teaching, when you had a student that you knew could do the work, but they chose not to do it. You know, and it's so frustrating. What are some ideas? What are some things that people need to know? I know, first of all, I always tell teachers, don't take it personally.
Right, you know, because, exactly right.
You know, that's the first line of defense. But what are some other things about, you know, how to get that kid to even put name, date, and period on the right-hand corner?
Right, and I think that comes from the standpoint of you have to understand the underlying causes for students, their lack of effort or because of their effort. And so sometimes the teachers have to go beyond and try to reach that kid from the standpoint from their arena. So the communication style that you have as a teacher is to ask him, hey, do you like golf? Do you like to hunt? Do you like to do these things? And that may make the kid look up at them and look them in the eye a little bit, to even to respond. And so one of the things that you can do is to show them that you care about them, and then also from the standpoint, take an interest in some of the things that they're doing and share some of the things that you may be doing as an individual outside of teaching in the classroom. And they may say, oh, you can play golf, or you drive a car, or you do this. And so a lot of time is to let them know that you're a human being also.
Isn't it amazing how middle school students have no idea that we actually have a life?
Right, that's the truth. Or that you go to the store and you have to eat.
Yeah.
Or that you sleep.
True.
You know, they really don't believe that stuff there. Or if you say, well, yeah, I go swimming, I go skiing. You do what? You're right.
They think that you just kind of stay in that office or in your classroom and
yeah,
never ever leave the building. And, you know, I find that so true, that with middle school kids, it's almost like you have to force yourself to watch a little bit of MTV and BET.
Mm-hmm.
And it's painful. you know.
Yeah, it's painful, and sometimes you don't even understand it. So that's one of the things, but you're right about that. You have to feel comfortable enough to, as I always tell my teachers at the beginning of the year, I say, you have to know verbal judo when you deal with middle school kids. You know, you have to know how to engage and disengage, and you have to watch, because they engage you in something that they want to try to find out about you that you might not want them to know about you, you see. So a lot of time it has to be from the standpoint you have to communicate with them and communicate with them about some of the things that they care about.
And it's funny, I said it at the beginning here when we were talking about not taking it personally. That's hard for teachers, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think the key to that is making sure you have a overall positive school climate where they have support from the standpoint of people around them. And they have to understand, too, from the standpoint that somebody's going to be there to help you when you have a problem, or you have to understand those kids that really don't really, really mean that. So hopefully somebody in the school environment will know something about that kid and say, well, yeah, he said that, but he really didn't mean that. But it's tough. You're right. That's a tough call there.
And it's funny. Everybody I ever talk to in regard to these podcasts, and we talk about student motivation, it all comes back to relationships. And what I just thought of when I was thinking about that was the fact that so many teachers say, you know, I can't do this alone. You have to understand, I teach 132 kids a day. You know, how am I supposed to build relationships every day with 132 kids? How do you answer that question?
I think from that standpoint is you have to have a brief overview of all of your kids, and then you have to show them that you have an interest in a variety of things. And in your conversation with them about things that they like, they will say, well, Ms. So-and-so, you know, knows about this, or Mr. So-and-so knows about that. I feel that from the standpoint is the way you present yourself or the way you listen to them about what they're interested in is probably a key to that, because you're right. Sometimes you can't get to all 130, but you can let them know that the doors here is not that heavy, and that you're there to help them in any way that you can. And, yeah, teach me how to do this, or teach me about that information. The key to that is the fact, I think the teachers have to understand that, yeah, you don't want to necessarily be their friend, but you want to give them good guided directions.
Mm-hmm. You want to be a good role model. You want to be a good role model. You know, the other piece is how can a team – can a team conquer this together versus an individual? You know?
Oh, yeah. Like I always tell my teachers, you never try to do difficult discipline by yourself. It has to be a team approach. And from that standpoint, you have to feel comfortable, and you have to share with your colleagues from the standpoint if something is happening, because somebody in that school had their finger on the pulse of that student, hopefully.
And if not, then there's a bigger problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so you feel that you can come together as a team and say, okay, well, in my class, he does so-and-so. Well, why? Then you can get some strategy and get some techniques, and you can find out, okay, these things work for him. And they may share some things, but he likes to do this. Oh, I didn't know that, you know, or that he may be from a single-parent home. Oh, I didn't know that. See, a lot of times it just depends on what you know and what you don't know. And from the standpoint, and it's a lot of time it's what you don't say to kids. See, kids who are difficulty have difficulty, and like I always say, they are not troublemakers. They're just having trouble making it, and they're having trouble making it because nobody stopped to say, how's it going? And that's all you have to think.
And it's funny because I remember one time I had taken in a stack of papers that I had finished grading, and I was going into my team meeting, and I set them off to the side, and the science teacher looked over and looked at the first name that was on the top of the stack, and he said, how did you get so-and-so to do two paragraphs of work?
Right.
And next thing you know, our team meeting had nothing to do with our agenda. It was, how did you get Bernice to work?
Right.
That was the best professional development I think I'd ever had.
And that's the key to it. It's the thing about a lot of times, you know, educators are selfish people. You know, they have something working. They don't want to share sometimes. And I try to tell my teachers, share. If you got something working with John or Paul over here and you see that Mrs. So-and-so is having a problem with them, share with her what you're doing. And then don't be reluctant to go and ask that person. Just like you said, that teacher asks you, how did you get John to even write a sentence, you see? And a lot of times it's just the fact that we don't share enough with each other to help each other out.
Well, and it's funny because I think that so many teachers get frustrated because of what you just said is there's nothing worse than when you're in a team meeting and you say, you know what, I'm having a hard time with Bernice. And your colleague looks across you and goes, Bernice is great for me. And you're like, well, who do you think you are? You know,
and you're like, exactly right. Or either the fact, yeah, I'm doing it. Like, you know, yeah. That's true. You're right about that.
You put her in the corner and leave her alone. That's why she's
doing it. That's exactly right. Or you let them sleep and they don't have anything to do. Yeah, you're exactly right. But the thing about it is we have to kind of, you know, be our own best friend sometimes, kind of work with each other and feel comfortable about sharing. And listen to the other people. You know, we don't know it all, and there's not no one way to do discipline. There's not one way to motivate kids. There are numerous ways. And the one thing I tell my teachers, the biggest thing you have to understand is what the kids are going to get out of this personal gain. And sometimes you have to look at the kids and say, okay, this is going to benefit you. And then you have to show and tell them. And sometimes they do not have the vision to see that far, but you still got to tell them.
You know, I was talking to a group of teachers recently, and I was talking about the fact that middle school kids have figured out that when the bell rings, they leave whether they've worked or not.
Right.
You know, and I think that the issues of our school situation and our setting really allows kids to not do work in the fact that, hey, you know what, I'm in here for 48 minutes, and if I choose not to do any work in Mr. Brookmeyer's class, when that bell rings, I go to my next one. And I was telling a group of team of teachers, I said, why don't you ever sit down and say this? Here are three kids we're going to keep. And if they don't finish the work in that class, I'm going to hold them until they finish that work. Now, as an administrator, are you okay with that? Because, you know, the first instinct would be, well, then they're not getting to their next class. Well, my response would be, well, what do you think they're going to do in their next class?
Right.
Probably nothing.
That's
so,
true.
Yeah, if I can get an assignment out of them for math, at least they might pass math, which means success.
That's true. You're right about that. And a lot of times that's doable. And see, that's where it comes in with the teamwork. If you got a strong team in the middle school that works together, then that teacher can say to teacher X, you know, John didn't complete this, and she can tell John that up front. Or the team can stand up in front of the kids as a force, as a group, and say, okay, students, this is our deal. Well, we're here to make sure that you learn. There's a connection with our teaching, okay? So when you don't do such thing in Ms. Johnson on maybe 3 days of the week or 2 days of the week, she will be able to keep you back in that classroom until you complete that work. And see, sometimes the team can come up with some strategies that's doable. And as an administrator, I can see that if it's something that's successful and something that's working, I can see myself agreeing with that, saying, yeah, that's doable from the standpoint, as long as we communicate with the parent and let them know.
Yeah, and it's funny because I actually did that. So it was an example where I had this one kid who refused to work. And we had a parent meeting, and I said, I'm going to keep him until he does work. And
Good. She
said, fine. And you know what? He sat there all day, didn't do a darn thing. Mm-hmm. And he handed in a blank sheet of paper, and he looked at me, and he literally said, that didn't work, did it? And I said, well, it ain't over. And he goes, well, you can't keep me. I said, you're right. You got to go home. And I said, by the way, what bus do you ride? And he goes, bus 7. I said, okay. Next morning, bus 7 pulls up. Guess who's at the front door?
You are.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's right.
And that's, you know what? True. He came in. He finished the assignment.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, they will, because see, the thing about it, they love to be with their peers. Mm-hmm. And if their peers is moving to the next door that they want to be with, they will produce for you. They may do it reluctantly, but they will produce for you from that standpoint.
The other time we did that, we had a young man who, again, wouldn't do his work. And he sat through two class periods of mine. And by the third class period, he was raising his hand and participating because he had heard the answers from the other two classes.
Oh, he was really smart, wasn't he?
But you know what? Part of it is he got it. He finally got it. You know, and it takes some kids two chances to hear it versus what we're giving it to them once now in the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, and then you move on.
Yeah, that's true. And like I always say, if you got it, that's good. That was the bottom line. That's what you wanted to take place. So you were successful with the method that you used for that particular kid. Yeah.
I just died when he raised his hand, and I was like, oh, he's going to say something sarcastic. And he's like, the answer is, and I was like, very good. You know, and because I was shocked that he knew the answer. But bottom line is, of course he would have after hearing it so many times. And I think you're right. Teams need to be able to take risks to deal with student motivation, because as you and I know, I can throw a kid out 30 times of my classroom, but guess what? They come back 31.
That's exactly right. That's right.
You know, and it, like I said, you can keep throwing them out. It's not going to lead to anything positive.
Right.
You know, if you had a brand new teacher, or if you were ruler of education, I love that phrase. I would love to be ruler of education. If you were ruler of education and you could, you could say, here's a mandate about student motivation, what would be one or two things that you would say, okay, every teacher, every school, every classroom, you need to do this in regards to student motivation? What would it be?
Yeah, I would think the first thing we would do is have a positive attitude and greet all of your students. Don't just the good ones, just the ones who are doing all the work, but greet every last one of the students every single day to make sure you say something positive to them and to welcome them into the classroom, you know, like someone said, I'm glad you're here. The other thing I would do is make sure that the teacher feel comfortable with how they communicate and respond to the students. And then I would make sure that the teachers model good respect, let the kids know this is how I stand and this is what I stand for. And then I'm making a commitment to do my very best for you and to show you that I care for them. And each teacher will do that, and they will have to show it, not just say it. They will have to show it from a standpoint. And see, if you say you got to speak to every kid and smile with every kid, then that means you go and you speak to every kid as they come in the classroom. You don't skip a single one. And then for yourself, you got to make sure that when things don't go wrong, you make sure you respond in a positive way. Instead of a negative way, you give them a question or a thinking directive to make sure that they change. And then to show them, by, you show them that you care about them by helping them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if they need some money for lunch, if they need a pair of shoes, say, okay, we're going to go and find out what we can do to help you out. And I think that that will give the kids a caring environment, positive learning environment, where they say, well, hey, I'm going to try my best. Because we do try our best when people show us that they care about us.
And, you know, it's so funny. That pair of shoes or that lunch money means so much to that kid.
And
who knows? They may go off and be real successful and buy you a new car.
That's right. I wait on it. That's the truth.
Well, or like I always say, those are the kids that you see who will be working on your brakes on your car. You want them to have liked you.
Right. Or remembered you in a positive way, at least. That's true.
Especially if they're working on your brakes. You know.
That's true. You're right about that. Oh, great.
Well, you know, the hard part is, and I think you and I know this, there is no one answer with student motivation, is it? Because every kid is different. Every kid is motivated by different things. Some it's a sticker. Some it's a soda pop. Some it's, you know, crackers. Some it's ultimately just time with the teacher.
Exactly right.
You know, because they want to be around an adult. And I think that that's stuff that makes it so difficult. Teachers want one answer. And if there was one answer, you and I know we'd be rich and we'd be on Oprah.
Oh, you better believe it. And see, another thing is that they want people to listen to them. Mm-hmm. See, you have to listen to them, even though whatever they're going to say may not be worth anything. But they want you to listen. If you listen to them, and then you come back, and then you give them questions for them to think about what they said, then they show you. Then they'll start thinking and think that you appreciate them too.
Well, hey, Howard. I think we have answered all the problems of the world in a matter of 18 minutes. And as always, you know, thank you so much for sharing some ideas. And if anyone is interested in more about Howard Orman, you can get a hold of National Middle School Association. You're part of our speakers cadre. You do a great job talking, obviously, to schools and staff and getting them fired up and motivated for all the good things that happen. So thank you so much for your time.
And thank you.
For more resources on motivating young adolescents, visit www.nmsa.org. Thank you for joining us on today's Middle Level Educator.